Back together, you and I, kicking off a brand new week, Monday, November 15th, 2021, on Connecticut Today. We welcome back Joe Scully from the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. He talked about supply chain issues and a current ongoing shortage of commercial truck drivers. Stratford GOP State Senate Leader Kevin Kelly joining us to talk about the latest tax and budget proposals in Hartford. And I had a few thoughts at the outset of the show on what I perceive as a current lack of leadership on the big issues in Washington.
Where's the leadership in D.C. right now? I mean, where is it? Where is it? And I know there are contentious battles in Congress, and that's fine. That's supposed to happen in the House and the Senate, right? I mean, that's fine. Battling in the House, battling in the Senate, finger-pointing, all the various political epithets. Yeah, you go back 200 and change years in this country, and that's been going on since, you know, the year one. You know, the year dot. But, man, there's so much going on now, and it hit me this weekend. There's no leadership. There's no leadership. There's a lot of apologizing. There's a lot of people from the present bunch out there saying, well, geez, it's tough. You know, we're trying. Well, the American people don't want to hear you're trying. And this really hit me. I was reading a piece over the weekend, and the so-called experts, all the punditry, the literati, the faculty room people, you know, the pipe and cognac people in big leather seats. Although that's not a bad atmosphere to sit in and relax. They're all stumped because they can't understand. In all these things I'm reading, they all say, "Well, geez, we can't understand because, you know, a lot of these things that Congress is working on and that the president is pushing here, they're very popular with people. We've done the surveys. We find that out. You know, everybody thinks that people should be turning cartwheels about this infrastructure bill. Well, you're supposed to do that. That's the kind of thing that's supposed to happen. It's like running water, a sealed roof, and electricity. You're supposed to do that. The difference is, what is your leader saying about this? What is the overall message? And listen, I understand people are fickle. I get this. But, I mean, Joe Biden's approval ratings, oh, man, they are awful. And the thing is, the funny thing is, and I know it's a year out from the midterms. I get it. I understand that. I've been covering this for 30 plus years. But the bottom line is, they don't seem to care. They don't seem to be doing anything or worried about it. Now, you know, to the defense of that argument, yeah, a year is an eternity in politics. I get it. And a lot of it has to do with who the opponent is. But, you know, the numbers on inflation are awful. The numbers on immigration and the border, those numbers are awful. You know, undecided voters, independents, that middle 5 or 10%, the current numbers for the current White House budget, they're awful. And, you know, you still have the punditry scratching their head going, well, we can't get it. How do you not get it? You think people are going to suddenly start turning cartwheels and kissing pictures of Mr. Biden because there's an infrastructure bill? That's good, but that's what's supposed to happen. What people want is leadership. They want a president to get up there, or anybody, a president, a mayor, a first selectman, you know, a president of a RTM or a board of alders, and say, listen, here's what we're going to do to fix this. But, man, this first year, I kept an open mind. I said, well, gee, let's see. Nothing on the border. In fact, they're going to pay illegals because they came here and they became mentally stressed. I mean, my God. And I understand COVID is still out there. I get it. I understand that. But, man, after almost 2 years of this, you know, like the comedian Bill Maher said a couple of weeks ago on his Friday show, Real Time on HBO, he says, listen, I'm a card-carrying liberal, but, you know, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here. He goes, but, man, blue states are miserable. I go do stand-up shows in the red states where I make fun of red states, and I'm having a great time. Where is the positive message on any of this? On any of this? I know things suck sometimes. But going back to my illusion of old-time radio and listening, listen to an FDR fireside chat. It's even when things were really crappy in World War II, listen to the fireside chats of FDR. Listen to the addresses from Winston Churchill. You know, a fat, overweight, drunk half the time with a lisp. Didn't matter. He was a leader. There's no leadership right now. God, you're reading stuff over the weekend that the Dems are starting the wheels in motion, according to CNN and the Washington Post, of getting Kamala Harris out there. Because a lot of them think, God, she's a disaster. And this is not coming from Fox. This is coming from CNN and the Washington Post. What a mess. What did we hear a year and a half ago? Oh, just get rid of Trump and we'll bring America back. Back to what? Yes, I know the pandemic is out there. I get it. But you've got to change your tone on this stuff. Even when things are bad. Leadership. Do something on the border. Be more optimistic on the coronavirus. Do something about the freaking gas prices. I don't know what you do, but really? You people are going to sit there and talk about closing more pipelines? It's ludicrous. Where is the leadership? All right, we're 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Before we go to the phones, I was just, starting the program here, kind of wondering out loud what I was wondering all weekend as I'm reading this stuff and driving around and going to a couple of hockey games and relaxing on the weekend, doing a little work and really enjoying life, you know, not getting hit by lightning, though, which was probably an advantageous thing over the weekend when those storms came through. But you know, my God, where's the leadership? And again, I'm reading all these stories about, oh, man, Mr. Biden's poll numbers. Oh, they're not really good. They're not really good. Boy, but people love the policies, but the poll numbers aren't good. Why is that? You're asking? You're dumb enough that you have to ask that question? There's no leadership. For everybody on the other side who criticized Mr. Trump when he was in office, you know, I'm thinking during the race, well, okay, now if, and I knew Trump would lose the minute that, you know, the audio recording surfaced of him and Bob Woodward talking, you know, openly about COVID, which was going to the polar opposite of what he was doing in public. When that happened, I said, well, okay, he's probably going to lose. So, what are the Dems going to do? Where's the leader here? And they nominate Biden and he wins. And my God, it's just, you know, and I get it. He's almost 80 years old. But, you know, you would have thought that somebody younger, and I understand they needed to get back that kind of suburban middle that went for Trump. Well, you got it back now, and where was it on Tuesday night a couple of weeks ago with what happened in Virginia and with, you know, what almost happened in New Jersey? Man, there is no leadership in this country right now. There's no optimistic message on anything. Oh, but we got infrastructure. Well, there's a good buddy of mine on radio always says, geez, congratulations for, I don't know, doing the job we pay you. Where's the visionary thinking? Where's JFK saying, yeah, it's probably nuts for me to say this, but we're going to go to the moon and land there and bring men home several times in the next 10 years when, you know, you had scientists going on the side, and you know I'm kind of a history of the space program. I'm a historian. I love the space program. You know, you had people thinking that JFK was out of his mind. They were like, is this guy lost it? There's no way we can do that, but we did. FDR in World War II would get a lot of input from people, but he would push back a lot and say, no, I'm going to say this. I know you don't like it, and I know you don't like some of these New Deal programs. Some of them were bad, some of them were good. But he went ahead and did it anyway. And now everybody is just frozen here. It's mind-numbing. nothing on gas prices, nothing on the border, nothing optimistic on COVID. Kowtowing to the woke left, being afraid of doing anything that would boost your popularity. I don't get it, folks. I just don't understand the abject lack of leadership that we were supposedly going to get, we were told, last November. And it's been months now. And please, I understand there's a pandemic. I get it. But, man, I'm just looking. You know how fans of the Jets and the Giants now are saying, can we just have a little competence? Can we have something going right? Something. Anything. Throw me a bone to the American people. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Area that we talked about that's in the news, of course, the perceived or actual supply chain problems is maybe why you, as I did the other night, went to one of my usual stores and said, wow, I've never seen that shelf empty. Is that the supply chain or what? Well, to help us talk about that, we welcome back the head of the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. Check him out, mtac.us. Joe Scully's with us. It's been a while. Joe, it's Paul here. How are you?
Paul, good afternoon. Great to be back.
Joe, good to have you back, man. So, listen, Joe, I'm hearing all these ads and seeing stuff online. You know, sign on with this trucking company, $5,000 bonus, $10,000 bonus. Is it really that bad? Is there a dearth of truckers that's affecting this whole supply chain thing? What's up?
Yeah, it is true. I've heard it from members this year more so than ever before. They can't find truck drivers to join their company. I've heard about these sign-on bonuses that you mentioned. I even heard one, $15,000, right? So trucker would have to join the company. They'd get half of that $15,000 after 6 months, and they get the second half after 1 year, designed to keep the person there a little bit, right? Because one thing I heard from another member recently is these guys will come, they sign on, and then they leave very quickly.
Goodbye.
So there's a they're hustling, and there's a high turnover rate because it's kind of a rat race, right? I mean, look, everybody should try to make every dollar that they make, but there is such a shortage of truck drivers that it's leading to some crazy things like the turnover that I just mentioned and the sign-on bonuses, and members telling me they've had to turn down new business. They have customers who want to pay them, but they can't take it because they don't have the people to drive the trucks that would be necessary to do that business for the new customer. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, I was in about a week or so ago, I was in one of the two or three, you know, big box grocery stores I go to in the area. And I always, you know, we buy our same stuff. Okay, let me get my frozen vegetables. And Joe, I never saw, now I got what I was able to get, but it hit me in a couple of the freezer cases. I'm like, wow, it's not a holiday yet. And these shelves for the beginning of the week are pretty bare. Would that have probably been an indicator, Joe, to some extent of what's going on here?
I'm sure it is, right? I mean, I went to the grocery store yesterday, and I'm looking all the time now because this thing is such a high-profile news item. The store I was at yesterday was actually full, but maybe I was just there on the right day, right? And we kind of saw issues like this at the start of the pandemic. The demand for food was so high. People were panic buying. The grocery stores, the retail workers, the truck drivers, the food distributors, nobody could keep up. So what had happened back at the start of COVID, which may be happening now, is the truck drivers just run out of hours that they're allowed to drive under federal regulation. So you may see a store low or out of particular food items, but it's probably going to be replenished the next day once the truck drivers have restarted their clock and can then drive again. As far as food, that would be my best guess, but it could be other things. It could be the broader supply chain issues like we're seeing with 100 or 200 container ships sitting out at the port of LA or Long Beach. Although, again, that's probably for other things besides food that are out on those ships right now.
Joe Scully's with us, head of the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. Joe, hang on. We're going to put you on hold real quick here, do traffic and weather together, pay a couple of bills, and we'll come back with more about what's going on with the state of the trucking industry nationally and locally with our buddy Joe Scully. First, though, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. Checking in with our buddy from the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. Check him out online, mtac.us, mtac.us. .us. Joe Scully's with us. Joe, before the break, you mentioned that, you know, it's just so hard to get and recruit truck drivers. Joe, why do you think that is? Does your membership tell you anything? I don't think it's a pay thing, because I hear a lot of the men and women in your business, you know, they make out pretty well during the week, and everything's got to get somewhere usually by a truck. It's not an easy job. I know that. Look up at some of these big rigs and say, no, I could never have the skills to do that. But what is it, Joe? Is it a generational thing? What's going on?
Partially, yeah. And look, pay is very good, I would say. These are by no means minimum wage jobs, and the amount that drivers get paid is going up and up and up, and I can't wait to see what the number is when the new data comes out next year. But there's a few things. Look, there's an aging workforce, meaning that many of the current truck drivers are older. They're late 40s, they're 50s, they're thinking about maybe retiring soon. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we have a hard time getting the younger generation into the workforce. And that could be the case because of marijuana. You could not use marijuana and be a truck driver. We are mandated to test for that, so you can't do it. There was actually a good provision in the infrastructure bill that just passed, which created a pilot program for 18 to 20-year-olds. It's basically an apprenticeship program, so they can start driving trucks in interstate commerce, which right now is illegal. Mm-hmm. That's, we think, another reason why. For the younger folks who may not want to go to college and they search for a good blue-collar job, well, if they can't drive in interstate commerce, they're going to not go to the trucking industry and maybe go find another job. So we want to change that. And then I think just the perception, too. We've got to let people know you can make a great career. A self-driving truck is not going to take your job anytime soon. I want people to know that.
That's pie in the sky, Joe. I mean, come on. Yeah, is any big business, is Amazon or Walmart or Target, they going to put their stock on a self-driving truck? I mean, come on.
Look, I don't doubt the engineers, the manufacturers who can design this stuff, but the idea that, you know, an 80,000-pound truck is going to be driving down I-95 with nobody in it, sorry, that's not happening anytime soon. So anyone wondering about that, don't worry. You can get a great job in the trucking industry, and that will not put you out of a job. I that may be a factor in people's minds. I don't know. But we need to start talking about it in case it is.
Yeah, and I saw some recruitment ads, Joe, not too long ago. I mean, for, I think it was Amazon or Target. I'm pretty sure it was Amazon. It was Walmart, actually. Now, Walmart's Walmart. They're the gargantuan as far as retailers go. But, you know, they were saying, like, after 1 year or 18 months, you know, gigs paying, like, 75, 80, 90 grand a year. So, yeah, you would hope, Joe, that's a draw for people to go to it, because if there aren't enough people, Joe, and we're seeing that right now, what's the ripple effect on stores, on the shelves of those stores that you and I were talking about?
Yeah, supply and demand, right? And there was a TV spot recently where they asked a younger guy, why did you become a truck driver recently? And he said, for the money. And good for him. And I'm glad that was put on TV, because that will attract people to the job. Now, I want to add one more thing about, you know, we're not going to have autonomous trucks putting people out of a job. I would actually add that the advancement in safety technology, automatic emergency braking, even automatic transmissions on trucks. I mean, if you had said that to someone 20 years ago, they'd think you're crazy. But these trucks are more advanced, more comfortable, safer. We think that can attract people to the job as well. Maybe including attracting women into the workforce who are obviously underrepresented in the trucking industry right now. We want anybody and everybody who is qualified to do the job. So if we don't, back to your question though, if we don't get there, you know, there could be delays in products getting to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Pay is going to keep increasing, which, look, I'm never going to say it's a bad thing that pay is increasing. That's good. Ultimately, though, all expenses incurred by someone in the supply chain funnel down to the consumer. But mm-hmm. I'd rather have people paying a bit more because employees are making more, as opposed to trucking companies being hit with taxes and tolls and other things, right? Those are things that can, unnecessarily impact sure. consumer prices. But, you know, salaries of truck drivers, hey, I'm glad that they're increasing.
No, that's good. That's good. Joe, final question. I'm actually glad you brought it up. I want to circle back to it. You brought up a couple of seconds ago marijuana. Now, the marijuana bill was passed here in Connecticut. We all know that. Your stash is essentially now legal. Retail sales are not going to happen probably for about another year or so, maybe this time next year. What would be your message, Joe, to somebody listening to us right now who would say, hey, I don't like my job, or my son's talking about becoming a trucker, but again, legal recreational marijuana use will be out there. What would your message be regarding state regulations, individual companies you deal with that deal with that you know? How is that going to be handled?
I think we meaning, you know, me, our association, our members, just need to be honest with people. Look, if someone's out there who's considering joining the industry and they used it last night, well, just stop, get it out of your system, and then you'll be clear to pass the test. You're going to have to take a pre-employment drug test and random tests throughout the year. You can do that. Look, drivers, you can still enjoy a beer at home while you're off,
sure.
right? You can have a beer on Saturday night. And when you come into work on Monday, if you get popped for a random test, you're gonna pass that test because the alcohol is out of your system. Mm-hmm. What we need, I suppose, and I think this is a very long way off, is an impairment test for THC, the substance in marijuana that impairs you. Because if you smoked a joint on Saturday night and tested on Monday, you're going to test positive, even
still
though
there.
You're not going to be impaired. Yeah. And I just think something like that is a long way off from everything I know right now.
The website, mtac.us, the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut. Joe Scully, always good to connect with him. Joe, thank you. If I don't speak to you, have a good holiday season. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Same to you. Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it. Joe Scully there, folks, from the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut, mtac.us. And Joe is right, folks, and from what I've read and heard as well, man, the trucker pay right now is better than it's ever been. But, like Joe said, you got to be careful with weed now because there is random testing. So you've got to decide what your priorities are. And don't do anything, as Mr. Bush 41 used to say, that wouldn't be prudent. Shouldn't do it. Well, we're going ahead into an election year in about a few weeks or so, 6 or 7 weeks. And the governor will be up a year from now, a little less than a year from now, the General Assembly. So all of a sudden, we're starting to hear about, hey, let's cut taxes. Let's do tax relief. Let's give the General Assembly a better part in budgeting and all this. Well, to chat with us about that, Republican State Senate Leader Kevin Kelly from the metropolis of Stratford. Hey, Kevin, it's Paul. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Always fun to talk with you, Paul.
Well, you know, thousands have said that, Kevin. It's a select few that can do that. can you tell? I'm wishing it was Friday already. No, seriously, Kevin. We're turning the corner here into an election year. So all of a sudden, Kevin, are you surprised or not, or curious, or wondering about where has all this talk of tax relief come from suddenly from the governor and some of his associates?
Well, of course, Paul. You know, we're obviously turning the corner, and now they're starting to talk about things that we've been talking about for the past 4 years. But talk is talk. What we need is action. And the fact is, and the reality is, that the Democrats control all the votes. The governor is a member of the Democratic Party. Anything he wanted to do for the past 4 years, he could have accomplished. The fact that he didn't shows that it's a lack of leadership and a lack of priority until now. But there's a highway littered with broken promises of tax breaks, affordable health care, affordable housing, a clean environment, better jobs, higher income, a better economy, all these things, safe communities. I mean, this is what the Democrats talk about all the time. But with all the power, and that's every, you know, the majority in the House, majority in the Senate, all the constitutional offices, even all representatives are from Democrats going to Washington, who now occupy majorities in those chambers and the White House. They could deliver on every promise they made. The question is, why haven't they?
So, Kevin, we're hearing about, well, tax relief, and it sounds like there are different ideas for tax relief, everything from, you know, shaving a little off the income tax to, you know, cutting property taxes or even allowing some deductibility, is it, Kevin, of your property taxes in relationship to other things here. So it certainly sounds like they're tossing a bunch of stuff up in the air. Any of these, Kevin, in your mind, viable, feasible, good for more people than fewer? What are your thoughts on some of these ideas?
Well, I think, you know, where we are and where we have been, Paul, is the Republican Party has always been focusing on the low and middle income families. That's the type of relief that we were looking for. That's why we opposed the gas tax that the governor and his majority wanted to put on the backs of middle and low-income families who pay a disproportionate share. They foisted a $100 million food tax in the name of the mileage tax on trucks. That remains, and that's going into effect in January of 23. They're not walking away from that one, and yet we're awash with money. And sometimes you scratch your head and say, why? You know, increasing the price of food, increasing the cost of home heating oil, increasing the cost of gasoline, that disproportionately affects low and moderate income families. That's who the Democrats are taxing, and that's who we're looking to protect and defend. We want to make sure that the government only needs as much as it does in order to do the job that it needs to do, and not ask for more sacrifice from the people who are least capable of making that sacrifice.
All right, Kevin, hang on. We'll be back with more from Kevin Kelly of Stratford, State Senate Republican leader. When we come back, we'll ask Kevin about an idea being floated that I saw, giving the General Assembly more direct say in budget cuts, which I thought was interesting. First, though, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. A couple of more minutes with Republican State Senate Leader Kevin Kelly of Stratford. So, Kevin, I'm going over all the stuff I usually read, and a couple of days ago I see this in the Connecticut Mirror. Legislature wants to take greater control when budget cuts are made, and that's apparently okay with the Lamont folks. Talk about that, Kevin. What is this centering on, and what are your feelings on it?
Well, I mean, I think what it talks about is what I think is it's starting to be a movement. The Democrats were very comfortable in allowing the governor to, I'm going to say, manage government and the pandemic, and didn't really want to second guess nor get involved. Now we're starting to see a lot of mismanagement or alleged mismanagement that occurred in the wake of the wrongdoings that we're seeing in West Haven. And now they all of a sudden are starting to think about, well, hey, maybe we ought to be more involved in this. And I think that's where it's coming from. And it's one thing to do it when there's a lot of money around, both from the federal government and obviously with the tax receipts coming in here in the state of Connecticut. It's another thing when, you know, the budget's in deficit, the legislature doesn't want to have any part to do with it. So I find it interesting, the timing of it and where it is. But at the end of the day, I've always believed that the People's House had a right to be involved and should have been involved. And we're asking, as a matter of fact, right now, that the legislature get involved and require OPM to come before the legislature and the appropriation committees to explain what did or didn't happen with regards to those allegations in West Hartford or West Haven, and whether they go beyond that. We've called for an audit to go beyond that, and we've also asked for that public hearing. And with regards to that issue, I don't hear too much from the leadership that they want to do anything.
So, Kevin, so how would this, if you had to, quote unquote, put this in writing and give you folks in the General Assembly more of a say of budget issues, would that take a change, Kevin, in the state constitution? Would that be a rule change in the legislature? Would it be done via legislation? How would that work?
Yeah, I think it's just done via legislation and just signaling a willingness to take back our constitutional obligations and responsibilities. That rather than allowing, for instance, in much of this, granting executive powers to the governor and letting him just run everything, require him to come back, have the checks and balances, say, hey, wait a minute, we have a role to play in this, and we want oversight and we want involvement. They could do that, and on the other hand, they could just acquiesce, which is what the situation we're in now is.
Kevin, when the governor was interviewed the other day by some reporters about a week ago, when he said, okay, yes, I am running, I believe it was a week ago tomorrow, he was asked rather pointedly, I thought, and properly, hey, everything is good now, Mr. Lamont. The coffers are good now because of the increased tax revenues and the COVID money, but in the next one or two budget cycles after that, Kevin, are we still looking at, from the numbers you see, are we still looking at large shortfalls in the out years? What's the latest you've seen once, Kevin, we hurdle over all this COVID money?
Well, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. The current budget that we're in, what we looked at was getting our state through a pandemic and looking at how to get the federal money that was coming to the state out and deployed into our neighborhoods to make sure that our communities were able to get through this. Now, in the out years, because you do have single year revenue embedded in the current budget, you're going to have to look at that and start to deal with those out year, I'm going to say, offsets. And make sure that either we trim the budget back to where we were pre-pandemic or look at, well, is it something that we want to continue and either make adjustments, maybe look at things that we don't need to do anymore and reallocate mm-hmm. funds, or figure out more efficiencies on ways to do things. But, yes, there are some concerns in out-year budgets if these processes and thought process does not occur.
Kevin Kelly, Republican State Senate Leader from Stratford. Kevin, always good to chat. Be good, my friend. Drive safely. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Take care, Paul.
All right. There you go. All right. Latest from Hartford there.